Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
They said, you know, was it a good move? And I literally said, I wake up every single day laughing because I know in my knower that I'm in the right place. And having Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris just being able to pastor me and speaking to myself and Janine's life has been such a blessing, and I really honour them and want to thank them today for everything they've done in our life and helping me, which I need lots of in my world. And would you help me just honour Pastor Phil and Chris and just thank them for everything that they're doing. And thank you, Chris. You know, it was only a few weeks ago, Janine and I were in Cambodia, and you know, I think and today the subject I'm talking about is the father of lies. But anyway, I was in Cambodia, and which was great, and had an amazing move of God, and lots of people were healed and saved and set free, and it was pretty exciting. And I thought, you know, I'd stay at a nicer hotel for the last couple of nights, and you know, the accommodation's not super expensive over there. It's the hotel we stayed in, which is really adequate and nice, was like $40 a night. And, you know, I had a little swimming pool and all these kinds of things. But I thought I'd just go one level up, you know, and just try to, you know, woo Janine a little bit and spoil her and try any trick I can for a bit of romance. And the travel agent said to me that because I booked it through them, that there was an upgrade available to a nicer room with a view and et cetera, et cetera. So when I walked in, you know, just did all the paperwork and they gave me the key, and I said, oh, you know, did that upgrade come through? And they said, oh, no, sir, it's completely full. And I was like horrified because it's just an enormous hotel, like 500 rooms, and it looks like there are three people in the whole hotel. And I thought, I don't know if they're telling the truth, and I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but I said, well, you know, it is a special occasion. They said, well, you know, they don't really speak a good English, and so a special occasion, and then the manager came out, special occasion, and I said, yeah, special occasion. And every night with my wife is a special occasion, I got to tell you that. And they said, all right, and they gave me an upgrade. I was so excited, and it was a beautiful room overlooking the pool and all these sorts of things. And Janine ordered a cup of tea, and our porter came up and brought the cup of tea, and also brought with him a big birthday cake saying, happy birthday, Andrew, on it, with a handwritten card, and all the staff had signed it. Special occasion in Cambodia, that's for your birthday. So I felt a little bit convicted and and said to the guy, listen, it's not actually my birthday. And he says, oh, no matter, enjoy the cake and all sorts of things. So that night we went out ministering and got home about 7:30, walked into our room, and they, you know, the towels that they supply the world, they've done some kind of origami with the towels and made one into a swan and put it on our bed, and with another towel with big love hearts and rose petals all over the bed. And then it said, another card, happy wedding anniversary. How good's that? I love Cambodia. Every night's a special occasion. So then I take my girl out for dinner that night in the same hotel. So we're having dinner, went to pay the bill, and they said, oh, there's some complimentary tea and coffee for you. I said, oh, that's so nice. And all the staff came out with another birthday cake for Janine. Oh, I love Cambodia, so put on about a stone just eating all the cake. You know, it's funny how sometimes a little lie can have such a big impact and can last so long. You know, It says here in John 8 that he was the murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks, listen to this, his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Well, obviously we're talking about the devil. One of the greatest weapons I really believe the devil has is his words that he puts inside of our spirits. Puts in around our mind, and often them are, they're half-truths. I mean, the half-truth is, you know, there is a special occasion, but it's not my birthday. It's not anything like that. It's just, well, I'm in Cambodia by myself with my wife, Janine. But, you know, the way they interpreted it, and the devil can put something inside our life which could have a half-truth to it. And the way that we interpret it often is to the negative. It's always easy to go to the negative. And then it becomes a seed in our life. It grows, and then the fruit of that negativity is shown through our life. And I really believe that the devil's nature, his very being, is destruction. In fact, John 10:10 says that. It says, the thief only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his only reason. The only reason is to bring entanglement into your life, into your marriage, to bring depression and anxiety, fear. He doesn't want you to win. He doesn't want you to be healed. He doesn't want your life to be blessed. He does not want you to go to heaven. The opposite's true. Every word that comes from his mouth has a destructive force behind it, to rob, kill, and destroy. But what I love about God is he's the complete opposite. He said, I've come that you have life, and life in all of its fullness. You know, the Bible says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And he wants to set you free from what? From the devil's entanglements, from the devil's lies and the things that he tries to put around your life. You know, I really believe there are three major kind of lies that the devil tries to bind us up with. And the first one being is the devil will try to whisper to us and say that God's not able, that he's not able to do what he promises he will do in our life. You know, in Isaiah 53, 4 and 6, I think we've got this up here. It says, surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities and punished and brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep who have gone astray. Who can relate to that? Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I mean, that's the whole cross. That's the whole point of the cross. I mean, we can't believe in God. We can't believe in what God's done unless we believe this verse in Isaiah, one of the foundation scriptures. And it says, by his wounds we are healed. Every strap, every beating, every rod was for your healing, for the miraculous, for God to do something in your life. And yet, come on, why don't you give God a clap? Because Pastor Chris is getting excited. This is what God wants us to do. The devil will try to whisper to you, but he can't. But then you remember what he did on the cross. Yes, he can. He wants you to win. He doesn't want you to have this sickness, ailment in your life. But not only these kind of miracles, he wants you to set you free from these fears and anxieties. Maybe you're having trouble with your marriage. God can set you free. God is able to do. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, and God is able, listen, God is able to bless you abundantly. I love that. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. What's he talking about? He's saying, I'm able. Your hardest moment, he's able. Whatever you're facing today, I want to tell you, God's able. Don't listen to the lie. Don't listen to the whisper the devil says, he's not able. He's able. You might be stuck. You might be saying, you know what, I'm in a hard place, the sickness, this word that's over my life, it's too hard to beat. No, God's able. You know why I like church? And you know why I love Pastor Phil and Chris? Because even when you are at your bottom, You can come to church and somebody will lift your hands up and say, we'll believe for you. He's able. We believe that God can do it. You know, I was at speaking in South Africa for the first time at the Hillsong Church there. And, you know, it was an amazing time, to be honest. I was the first healing evangelist at the Hillsong Church, a church of 8,000 people now. Started 4 years ago and was going great guns. And Pastor Phil and Lucinda are great friends of Janine and I. And, you know, hundreds of people come to Christ in that service. But my favorite service is when I went out to the ghettos. And you drive from the airport all the way through, and because the World Cup was there, they've made these huge, big embankments and barriers that you can't see into the ghettos where all the shanty towns are, where people are literally living in cardboard boxes, and it's just a horrible place to be. But they've planted a church there. There are 700 people there. And so I spoke there, and you know, you come alive. I mean, I love speaking in Cambodia, and because you actually feel like you're a Christian again when you're, you know, in these places where people have got so much need in their life, but we've got the answer because God's able. And the last few moments of that service, where I think over 100 people made decisions for Christ, there was one man in a wheelchair. I think we've got a photo of him on the screen. And 22 years in a wheelchair. 22 years in a wheelchair. And because I was talking on healing, I thought, well, we better have a go. I'm telling you right now, wheelchairs are a little bit intimidating, if I can be honest. Like, I believe that God is able. But you have to put yourself where your actions actually reflect your belief that God is able. And so they wheel this beautiful old man up to me. And they said, you know, he wants to walk. I have to think to myself, is he able? And you know what was so awesome was when I prayed for him. He told me, he said, my whole body is warm. I said, is that good? He said, I haven't felt my legs in 22 years. I said, you haven't felt your legs in 22 years? I haven't felt my legs in 20 years. I said, well, that's good. You know, when he walked, and, you know, it's not glamorous. It's not like he's running around. But after 22 years, even just standing and walking, kind of a big deal. Do you know, the next week the church doubled. It doubled because people started to believe he's able. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to that seed thought that he's not able. He is able. He's big and he's real, and that changes everything. The second lie that the devil tries to bind us with is, it's too late for me. It's too late for me. I'm too far gone. The problem's too big. It's too hard. I was thinking about the thief on the cross. It says in Luke 23, verse 32, it says, but another day a criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since we are under the same sentence? We are punished justly. For we are getting what our deeds deserve. Thank God we don't get what our deeds deserve anymore. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you're in your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly today you will be with me in paradise. Oh, I love that thought. So here we've got Jesus standing right in the middle. He's on the cross. And then you've got two other criminals, one on the right, one on the left. And the one on the right, I mean, he's like not the smartest tool in the shed. Starts like rebuking God and doing all these kind of crazy things and mocking him. And this other guy over here, I mean, what's amazing about this, if you've seen The Passion of the Cross, that movie, you'd see that everybody can hear what these guys are talking about. This isn't like a private conversation. When you're up and across, everybody's listening. And this guy kind of leans over, which is kind of a weird moment as well. And he tells the other guy on the cross, off. He's like, shut up, man. This guy, he's God. And this guy just has this brilliant idea. He thinks it's not too late for me.
That's right. Come on. You're
right. How did he get that? Genius. And he turns to him and he says, God, will you remember me in your kingdom? And then he turns over, looks at this guy and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Shut the gate. How awesome is that? Like when I think of paradise, baby, I'm thinking about like maybe Fiji, and I'm in one of those banana chairs, you know, just near the surf, and I'm, you know, just getting some suntan lotion. Janine's putting it on me, and she's on some kind of like white bikini, and she's, I've got one of those banana drinks, and I'm sipping away, and I'm thinking, babe, I'm going to go for a swim, and I'm swimming away, and Flipper pops up. Says, yeah, do you want to have a ride? And I was hopping this dolphin and we're around. If that's my limited view of paradise, when God says to this man, today you'll be with me in paradise, I'm telling you right now, it's better than Fiji, baby. It's going to be awesome. It's not too late. It isn't too late. Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus, John 11, verse 17. On his arrival. This is after like a long time. Jesus found Lazarus already been in the tomb 4 days. It feels too late. 4 days. God, can't you be on time? 4 days feels like a long time. How long have you been waiting? It's not too late. It's never too late. God can make a way for you. Something can shift in your life. God's real. This is not a game. It's not a dress rehearsal. This is our one shot. And God's for us. Don't listen to that lie. It's too late. You can be free from addictions, pornography, sickness in your life, other things that have been binding you. You can be free. It's not too late. Spoke to this tomb. Says, Lazarus, come out of here. He walked out. I mean, you can only imagine. My kids would love this. You know, this, it's like a mummy movie. You know, this guy walking out with all the grave clothes, all bound up. Just take those things off him. He's free. You can be free. You know, I love my dad. I think we've got a photo of my mum and dad on, put up there. My mum and dad are awesome. My dad's 78, my mum's 76. That happened about a month ago when they won New Zealand, Australasia's number one two-year-old harness racing event in Melbourne. I was there to take the photo. And you can take that off now. But I love my mum and dad. I'm the youngest of eight. Very cold in New Zealand. Somehow my parents have got the amazing ability that everybody feels like the favorite. My dad had crippling arthritis. They diagnosed him to be in a wheelchair. My mum and dad brought me up in the Catholic Church, and I'm very grateful for knowing about God and found Christ. You know, even as a young boy, I used to talk to God and pray to God. And I actually, when I was 13 years old, went and met a Catholic priest and told him I was going to be a priest. And he said to me, he said, you're born to be married and I shouldn't be a priest. And so I was very confused about that for a while. But God had other ways of making that happen. But it's funny how there was a desire right from a young age to do something for God. So I honour those moments. I was with a friend and we're travelling through New Zealand, and my dad's having a meal and we're, you know, sitting down together, and Dad's complaining to my mum about how he can't cut his meat because he can't hold his knife and fork properly. And my friend says, "Mr. Kabbalah, Andrew should pray for you." And it's kind of like a family secret that I'm a healing evangelist. And I'm kind of like, "Oh, you know, like trying to kick him under the, you know, like, no, it's not going to, you know." And like Dad's complaining and my friend's embarrassing me, you know, into praying for him. He said, "No, you, arthritis is easy, you know. Andrew prayed, you know, like, you know," he's going on and talking about people who are blind, healing and all this other thing. And I'm going, "Oh, God." And so I'm so embarrassed about it. I said, "All right." I said, "Dad, can I pray for you?" And to my shock, he said, "Yes." I was like, oh, kind of wish you'd say no, but he said yes. And so anyway, here we are. Now you've got to understand the enormity of this moment. 70 so years old, I'm praying for my dad in my family living room. We've got those little shutters in the kitchen where you can kind of peek, if you know. So mum's like peeking up and down as we're looking at this thing, and I'm praying. Part of my mind is this. I'm just talking about the way I'm processing. 70 plus years old, you've actually got to die of something, you know that. Am I telling the truth or not? Is it too late? Now, as soon as I have that thought, where does that thought rest inside of my theology of prayer and when do you give up and when do you not give up? And these are all big issues, aren't they, that we're all kind of facing. But I have to go back to Scripture where I realize that God's able, that it's never too late. 4 days in a grave, it's not too late. You're on a cross on your last breath, it's not too late. It's probably not too late for my dad. So I'm praying. And I'm praying a great prayer. You'd like the prayer. God, touch him, bless him, look after him. But those words don't really mean anything. It's actually the internal prayer that actually is counting. And the internal prayer goes something like this. God, hurry up! This is Dad! I mean, God, I know you're real. Send an angel. Even a feather will do. God, thank you for touching my dad. Amen. So anyway, we kind of leave that. How is it going, Dad? Oh, yeah, it's going good. Yeah. 3 months later, we're in the family reunion. And so the place is kind of full, and my mum and dad are there, and my dad's like the, you know, the boss of the family, and so he's doing grace. He goes, yeah, is this microphone on? Yeah, tip. He goes, oh, yeah, Andrew and Janine are here from Australia. That's really great to see you. And the boys, oh, that's great. Yeah, welcome these guys. And so he was like clapping, thinking this is a bit odd. And he goes, yeah, Andrew prayed for me with arthritis the other day, and I forgot to tell you, son. Yeah, I'm completely healed, so I can move these and that. It's not too late. And he says, yeah, so, you know, if you've got a few problems, maybe you've got asthma or something like that, not now, but after lunch, would you mind praying maybe for some of the kids or something like that, son? I'm sitting there going, yeah, no, it's fine, Dad. Amen, it's good. Oh, it's strange. He loves family. I think it's awesome. Wonder if the musicians could come out, the musos could come out and help me. The last lie is the lie that the devil tries to bind us with is that God doesn't exist. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I think I just had an accident, and didn't that sound like a machine gun? See, if I was in Cambodia, I'd be really, really worried right now. But because you all love me, I'm fine, all right. I've got my bulletproof vest. They're called Gabriel and Michael. They're standing right there. Oh, that's funny. We must believe that he exists. God's real. My hashtag for my Twitter that I often use is he's real. Every healing evangelist has got to realize that he's real. Otherwise, you can't do what you do. Because every situation seems impossible but God. With God, all things are possible. He's real. You know, it says here in Revelation 20, verse 11, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was sitting on it. And the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And then I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up their dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done." Now, it's a pretty heavy kind of verse right there. Because I'm a grace preacher, to be honest. Like, mercy's new for you every single day. While you've got breath, there's grace. His mercy is for you. Your sins can be forgiven, and you can be free. But we would be amiss not to tell you the truth. The one day, there will be that day, a day for judgment, where the God will come and he will judge us for what we've done, good or bad. And the devil tries to whisper to us, he's not real. But he is real. His mercy is never ending. But there's one day where he says, "Listen, I'm going to open up the book of your life. And every secret, good or bad, because there are good secrets, and there are bad secrets. The good things you've done in secret will be rewarded, but the bad things will be shown." And sometimes I feel like we live our life not realizing that this day is coming, that it's not real, that this is kind of like playtime before the big event. No, this is the moment. And I'd hate anybody to miss that moment of salvation, of thinking that you're in but you weren't in, of thinking that coming to church was enough. It's not enough. Who told you that? It's a relationship with God. This church amplifies that with our worship and with the feeling of presence. But we can get stuck. The devil can give us a half-truth. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to the word of God. Where we stand before him, let's stand before him with pure hands, clean lips, knowing that we've done the right thing. Don't be tricked into pride or kind of a false religion. Say, "No, I'm going to snap out of that." You know, I was on an airplane recently, and I just was kind of pumped up. I'd come off a meeting and good things had happened, and I just thought, whoever sits beside me, they're going to get it. And so this guy sat beside me, and the conversation just turned real quick, and he says, "Hey, you know, what do you do for a living?" And I said, "I'm a healing evangelist," which, you know, it's kind of challenging for people. And he started laughing. And I thought it was interesting. And he says, I don't believe in God. And I said to him, who told you that lie? And he said, when I was 15, my science teacher told me. What did I say at the very beginning? Little lies can last a long time. Imagine coming to the throne room of God saying, my science teacher told me you weren't real. The Bible says that hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, which speaks of regret. Because they didn't have the to listen to the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Don't let the devil's lies. I had a vision, a dream of a sea of people walking to the throne room of God. And then I heard the noise. I remember like it was yesterday. And they were screaming out saying, but they didn't, they told me you didn't exist. They told me. All these people were yelling out. Where did that lie come from? It comes from the author of lies. It comes from the devil. He tries to sell people the lie. When I was 20 years old, my burning bush moment, the call of God on my life, I was flying to India to speak in a healing meetings in India with a lady called Cecily Stoneham. And I was watching a movie called Demolition Man. A bucket of hot water was poured all over me, and I remember just crying in my seat. And God spoke to me, and he said, son, I want you to leave as a youth pastor and train for a season as an evangelist. I'm calling you to be an evangelist to tell the people that I'm coming back for a church without spot or blemish. And so today, I feel like I'm delivering that message to you, that God's real and he's big. He loves you. His mercy is for you every single day. But don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. There is a day where God is going to call us to account. And on that day to be a great day for us. That we would stand together laughing at the goodness of God as I feel like I do today. Saying, God, you're able. You know, my last story is my beautiful mum. And my mum, of course, my mum and dad have never heard me speak. So I was opening the building in my little hometown and doing a message there. And I was having breakfast with my mum and dad. I said, mum and dad, would you come and hear me speak? Mum, dad says, no, I'm not coming. But then mum turns to me and she says, all right, I'll come. I said, mum, thanks. So I changed my message quickly. And I did a message called Who in Hell Knows Jesus. It talks about a whole bunch of people who have a knowledge of God but no relationship with God and end up in hell. So you should have, I was preaching like a man possessed, and I was going for it. And at the very end, I said, and is there anybody who'd like to give their life to Christ? All you have to do is lift up your hand now. And my mom, who's sitting on the front row, lifts her hand up and goes, mom, fancy that. Fancy, fancy. So I walked down. Other people put their hand up, but I could care less. Prayed with my mum. I went out for lunch with her that day, and I said, mum, come on, what's happening? She said, well, you know that I've gone to Mass most Sundays of my life. Now, just about every day, she goes to Mass. She says, but for the first time, I know that God's real because I can feel him inside of me. And even as we're talking, he's talking to me. My mum had this most beautiful born-again experience. Do you know, every family member that's heard me speak has made a decision for Christ. I'm so grateful to God because families matter. And we're all part of a family. And we all love each other and we all want the best. But I'm just asking you today, you've come this far. Don't listen to the lie. He's able. It's not too late. And He's real. And He wants to do something special in your life. It can change. It can be different. Something can turn for you. Would you give God a moment? All I do all over the world is I want to explain what's going to happen because I don't want you to feel tricked or manipulated into something that you're not wanting to do. That's not the case. We want you to know what's going to happen. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, because when you close your eyes, I believe everything else disappears, but your soul and your thoughts are illuminated. And I want you to ask this question to your soul: am I in relationship with God? And it's an honest, I think that's an honest prayer. And you know what I know is God will talk to you just like that. But don't be naive. As soon as God talks to you, there'll be another voice. The devil will try to whisper to you, say, don't do it. But I'm asking you this morning, don't listen to the devil. The devil talks to you, just say, nah, today's about me, my life, my family. Something has to shift for me. And I'm going to get my life right. My family are going to be blessed. And we're going to live in eternity in heaven and laugh at the goodness of God. And something so small, it's one little moment in the presence of God, can shift you into a brand new day for eternity. That's how amazing our God is. And as we're praying and thinking about that, I'm going to be praying for you. At the end of the prayer, I'm going to ask you to be bold. If you want me to pray for you, I want you to lift up your hand. I'll see the hand. I ask you to put it down. And then all together, we're going to pray a prayer asking Christ to come into our life, saying sorry for any wrongs. But I would love to pray for you personally also, because I often think it's a miss, wrong, to rush past such an important moment and not to put weight upon it. So come on, we can do it. Why don't you right now just close your eyes, every person in this building. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Let God talk to you right now. As you just ponder that thought inside your soul, am I in relationship with God? It's an honest question. It's a fair question. And let God speak to you today. You know what? He's able. It's not too late. And He is real. Whatever you're facing, God can do it. Lord, I thank you, Lord, right now for those people who are here, maybe for the first or second time. Maybe they're from another church and they're saying, Andrew, it's true, I know about God, but if I'm honest, I'm not really in relationship with Him. But something has to shift for me. You're saying, Andrew, I need to pray that prayer. Or maybe you're here saying, Andrew, it is sin, a wrong relationship, I'm stuck. But today something has to happen. I need to give my life to Christ. Or maybe you're here saying, Andrew, you know what, if I was to face death, like you had to as a teenager when you were going through leukemia, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. If I was to face that judgment seat, I'm not sure if God would let me in. But today that can shift for you. You can have a relationship with God. Walk in that relationship.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.